Welcome to Dream Chaser Radio.
What up, what up, what up, what up, what up? Welcome back to another episode of the world famous Dream Chaser Show. This is your host, Will Lane. The Dream Chaser Show, if this is your first time checking it out, is all about motivational conversation for regular people doing big things. Something different. Playing a bigger game in life. Stepping it up. See what's going on. Been doing a little bit of traveling. Was out in San Francisco for a couple of days. Was wrapping up that leadership program, which I've been talking about over the last year, which I'll talk to you a little bit about here shortly. But it's my first time out in San Francisco. Great city, great weather. Food-wise, I think the best thing I had while I was out there was, you know, of all things, a chicken pot pie. Chicken pot pie, that was the best thing I had to eat in San Francisco. And all the food was good. But they got this spot out there, and I'm not sure if this spot is a franchise or what. But they got this spot out there called the Cravery. Somewhere downtown, I forget even what street it's on. Somewhere close to Market Street. Man, damn chicken pot pie is out of this world. In fact, I had to double back and get another one. I don't know what kind of gravy they put in this thing or what they marinated the chicken in. But this thing was incredible. So if you're in the San Francisco area or if you're visiting, make sure you check out the Cravery. I'm not getting paid for that endorsement, but I do promise you, they serve up a good chicken pot pie. So it was out there, and then from San Francisco, met Tosh in Bali. On my way to Bali, I actually had an overnight layover in Singapore, which is a real cool city. Real cool city. Very high-end. Singapore felt very high-end. A lot of Gucci, Louis Vuitton, you know, a lot of that kind of vibe going on. And what was interesting about Singapore, on the if you follow me on Facebook, and by the way, if you don't follow me on Facebook, follow me on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/DreamChaserShow. Just go ahead and like me. But if you follow me on Facebook, you saw that, I don't know, about a month ago, I had put the Marina Bay Sands Hotel on my bucket list of places to visit in the world. And the reason I wanted to visit it, it's actually one of the more popular or famous hotels in the world. They got this bar and pool on the top of the hotel. The pool is like, I guess they call it an infinity pool. So the edge of the pool is like overlooking the city. So, you know, you see it in a lot of pictures and stuff like that. And again, go to the Facebook page after you like it, of course, and check it out. But had just put that up like 2 weeks before I went to Singapore. I didn't even know I was really going to Singapore yet. I said, I'm going to go and visit this hotel. And well, you know, like 2-3 weeks later, I'm sitting at the Marina Bay Sands Hotel. So it's crazy. I mean, whole point in telling you that I had no idea I was going to visit that place, but by just me creating that intention, you know, a couple weeks later I was sitting there. Really nice hotel. The unfortunate thing was I didn't get a chance to actually go to the pool. It was like the middle of the night. I was on an overnight layover, so the pool and the bar and all that was closed unless you were actually staying at the hotel. No, it was cool. So yeah, I did a little video. Check out the video. And then from Singapore, went to Bali. Man, Bali was incredible. Bali, Indonesia. If you've never been, you gotta check it out, man. It's one of those places, man. This is like somewhere like out of a dream, man. Tropical vibe. Stayed at a real nice hotel called the Nusa Dua Beach Hotel. Nusa Dua Beach Hotel. So if you go there, make sure you stay there. I mean, they got six or seven different pools, fountains all over the place, you know, ponds with two or three guys doing maintenance on the pond. I mean, just very immaculate, well kept, eight different restaurants, just sit down somewhere and, you know, enjoy a great meal. I mean, it was just an amazing place, man. We were out there for the Awesomest Fest, which is like an event that they have every year for, you know, aspiring entrepreneurs. People have a message to get out. Real good opportunity to just network with other people out here trying to make a difference and, you know, be a plus sign in the world. But what I wanted to talk about today was, like I said, I just wrapped up that year-long leadership program that I've been talking about. I'd have to say it was probably one of the harder things that I've done in life, man. Like, the whole point of this program is really to take away your ego so that you just lead from a place of nothing. Just lead with your heart. So there's, you know, there's no looking good, there's no presentations, because, you know, all that stuff is boring. You can't really lead from, you know, from any of those crutches. But when you can just lead from a place of being in the moment, that's when you really can become authentic, and an authentic leader is the most powerful leader there is. But before you can get to the authentic, you got to get through all the, you know, all the stuff that you've been carrying, all the baggage, you know, all the, you know, the character that you put together, or that I put together. It was good stuff. So I'm going to give you five things that I learned from this program, man. The first thing was, I really understand now what it is to listen. What it is to listen to people. And you always hear about that. I mean, even, you know, your parents tell you when you're younger, you got two ears and one mouth for a reason. You know, use them accordingly. What I think I learned from how to listen properly is being in this group of people in this program. I don't know. I guess it was 8 to 12 of us, depending on the quarter. You know, some quarters it was like 8 of us. Some quarters, you know, 12 of us, because it's a year long, so people come in every quarter. So people drop out and then new people come in. So let's say it was like 8 to 12 of us. And the people that you're in this program with, and it's kind of just like life. The people that you end up with, you know, other side, you know, besides like your mate, you know, your significant other that you might choose. But the people you wind up with, you know, whether it be at work or, you know, on a team or, you know, anything like that. Generally speaking, a lot of times, these aren't the people that you would necessarily hang out with if it wasn't for this purpose that brought everybody together. So I'm in this group, you know, for a year with these people. And again, if I was having a party next week, I'd invite none of these people. And that's not to say that they're bad people. I'm not saying anything negative about it. I mean, it's just people that I just normally wouldn't hang out with. I mean, it's all different people from, you know, different walks of life, different interests that, you know, the main reason they came together. The one thing that we have in common is that we want to grow our leadership ability and our leadership capacity. And I mean, it's all different types of people. I mean, you might have one blue-collar guy who's a machine worker. You might have one CEO of a small business. You might have a doctor. You know, you might have somebody, you know, just has a high school degree. So, you know, again, it's different walks of life. But I learned how to listen by being with this group of people. Because what happens is we are around the same people all the time. What I started to learn was I started to learn about the stories that I was creating for myself, about who I was, and how a lot of that story was just stuff that I made up. It wasn't even real. And then how that relates to listening is I could actually start to see through the stories that these other people we're making up. You know, whether it be about the limitations or whether it might be about how great they perceive themselves to be. And once you can start to see past stories, you can listen from a place of not judging somebody, not making a person right or wrong, or analyzing them or critiquing them or trying to figure out if they have this or have that. You listen from a standpoint that everybody has a story, and it's the story that they've used to get themselves through life the best way they know how. And you can start to listen through that. You can start to listen past, you know, all the personality quirks, or, you know, what they call strong suits. And it's real interesting stuff. I really got what it is to listen. And listening is just being able to be with somebody and not judge, you know, how you feel about them or how they're coming off. Just kind of just getting where they're coming from or whatever their perspective is. So, first thing I learned to do was listen. Second thing, like I said, this is one of the toughest things I ever did. And the second thing was, I started to understand what the difference is between really making a commitment and just saying you're going to do something. When you say something from commitment, you follow up, and it's interesting because I had did this, you know, my first or second podcast was on commitment. And the reason I did it is because I was getting what it was to have commitment being in this program. And what fouls a lot of people up is we make commitments or what we think are commitments. And then instead of just following through no matter what with whatever that commitment is, you follow up on it, or we follow up on it based on whatever our feelings are that particular day or that particular moment that it's time to take action. And that's what keeps a lot of us from reaching the next level in life, is going past that feeling, you know, sucking it up, doing what needs to be done regardless of how you feel. You got a headache, you're tired, you know, whatever the case may be, you show up and you make things happen. And the only reason you do that is because you said you would. And when you can start to show up like that in life, that's when you become really powerful. That's when things change. That's when mountain moves. Because now you're not a victim of your circumstances. Circumstances aren't creating the outcomes. Your commitments are. And we can make your commitments more powerful than your circumstances. That's power. That's real power. So, I love the difference between... I learned the difference of, you know, what commitment really is. Third thing is, I learned how to have what they call an enrolling conversation. And a rolling conversation is, if you're playing a big game in life, and I think I talked about this too in the previous podcast, if you're playing a big game in life, ideally you can't just do whatever needs to be done by yourself. You're gonna, you know, need another person, and ideally people. You're gonna need a team of people. And what I used to do before is when I needed something, and for one, I don't even like to ask for things. But when I used to ask for something, I just used to ask for the standpoint of fulfilling a need. Just making a request because I need it. Whatever it is that I was asking for. But in an enrolling conversation, you actually listen for what's important to other people, and then you ask your question from the standpoint of not only what you want, but also how it can help them get what they want. And I don't know, bad example of this, off-the-cuff example would be, let's say I wanted someone to promote the Dream Chaser show. And instead of just going and saying, look, I got this podcast, you know, do you mind promoting it on your Facebook page? I'm really trying to get the word out there. And a rolling conversation would be, and again, this is just off the cuff, bad example, but you'll get the point. And a rolling conversation would be, hey, Rick, you know, I know you like helping people. You're into personal development, and you're always a good resource for the people around you. You know, how about you share this new podcast that I'm doing? You know, it's a Dream Chaser show, motivational conversation for regular people doing big things. It could help one of your, you know, one of your friends or your followers that you might be linked up with on Twitter or Facebook or whatever case may be. I think you might, you know, be interested in doing that. And it's as simple as that. So, and from a sense, it could be kind of seen as kind of manipulative, but it's really not. I mean, the context that you have to come from is that, you know, this person has things that are important to them. I have things that are important to me. Let's see how we can collaborate and get something done together. So, real powerful concept. Enrolling conversation. Fourth thing I got was learning how to improve the results of the people around me by learning how to hold them accountable. And when I say hold them accountable, you know, when making requests of other people, you don't just simply ask for something and then, you know, if it gets done, it does. You know, if it doesn't, it doesn't. Which is what happens, you know, a lot of times, depending on what you're asking for. You know, a lot of times stuff just doesn't get done. So after you've had that enrolling conversation, you may follow up with, hey, Rick, great. When can you share that on your Facebook page by? When can you do that by? Initially, that may be a little bit uncomfortable. That was a little uncomfortable for me because I found out through this program that I don't really like holding other people accountable. And I think a lot of that has to do with I don't like being disappointed. So I'm afraid that people are going to disappoint me. So I don't like holding them accountable. However, if you can get into the habit of holding people accountable and, you know, following up, the results that you get from the people around you, I mean, the results just go through the roof. You know, because people see that you're serious. And again, sometimes it may take people back a little bit. It's like, you know, they agreed to do something, then you double back with, okay, when can you do that by? It's like, hold on a second, you know, I said I was going to do it. Slow down, player. But at the end of the day, most people will respect that. And by you asking them and holding them accountable, it's like they know you're serious. They know you mean business. So when you use those two, when you use enrolling conversations and then holding people accountable, when you use those together, man, you can get, you know, your teams, your employees, you know, whatever the case is, because again, this is leadership. So this isn't about producing any results on your own. This is about creating teams and teamwork and then getting your team to actually perform. So when you can take those two elements and you can put them in the context of a team, oh, forget about it. So the fourth thing was holding people accountable. And then the last thing I got, number five, was, and I talked about this before, but the last thing I got was learning how to really be authentic and completely just get rid of my ego. It's like, you know, when I would be in conversations previous to doing this program, you know, I might be in a conversation and I might be listening. But I was listening from the standpoint of trying to finish this sentence and trying to figure out what they were saying so that I could respond. And not only respond, but respond with the best answer. So not only am I not listening fully because, you know, I'm trying to look good, but I'm also not being authentic, because authentic is letting that person say whatever they have to say. And then whatever comes up after that comes up. And a lot of times what comes up may not be necessarily what that person wants to hear. But that's what it is to be authentic. To be authentic, now use tact, because I do have some challenges with that. Sometimes I just say whatever's on my mind and it, you know, it doesn't. It's not good for relationships all the time. But at the same time, when you could be authentic, when you could tell people really what's going on with you and how you feel, or express yourself in a place that isn't worried about looking good or trying to defend anything or trying to protect anything. There's something different about that, because not that many people really do it. We posture a lot. You know, again, we try to get through life with presenting the best self that we can. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the problem that comes into play is when it starts to get to a place where, you know, you're not really being yourself. Again, you've fallen into this story, which is not even the truth. And that's how most people get through life. I mean, most people aren't happy with their jobs. You know, a lot of people may stay in a job just because, you know, it's prestigious. You may be a lawyer. You may be a doctor. You may hate law. You may hate practicing medicine, but you're a doctor or you're a lawyer. It looks good and it's great money, but if you don't like doing it and you show up and you do it anyway, that's not really being authentic. That's really living your life for the opinions of others. I think I went off on a little bit on a tangent there, but I think you get what I'm saying here. Like, when you can let go of like all that stuff about what people are thinking about you, and it's a challenge for everybody. Look, I've been through this program and I'm a lot better at it than I was, but I'm still not all the way there. I still care a little bit about what people think. Which, by the way, it's an interesting story. I was in this restaurant the other day, and one of my neighbors walks in, and you know, we bump into each other, and you know, shake hands and everything. And I'm having a strip. I'm having the problem with the strip on my ATM card, on my debit card, right? And so I know, you know, depending on where I go, when they swipe it, sometimes it doesn't swipe, sometimes it does swipe. And so this restaurant, you know, I pay for my food, and she swipes the card. It doesn't work. And I said, you know what? You may have to type that in, because, you know, I've been having some problems with the strip. So she goes to type it in, but she's taking a little while. So my partner sits down at the table right behind me. So, you know, I dip back and talk to him for a second. And then about 30 seconds later, she yells across the restaurant, "Hey, this is the client. It's not working. You got another card?" In front of millions. And I don't know, that some people might be all right. To me, that was like embarrassing. Like, come on, my car's declined. You couldn't pull me over to the side and, you know, tell me, look, it didn't work. I mean, she threw me out there in front of millions. But so like that, I was a little embarrassed. So I'm not all the way there, is my point. I still have some ego left. But every day I try to work at it and try to see, you know, how can I become more authentic? How can I get more of my get rid of my ego? Not that I would completely get rid of it, but, you know, there's always things that you could do to get, you know, your truest self, you know, if that makes sense. So that's all my time. Hopefully you learned something new or remember something you forgot. Don't forget to check out Facebook, Dream Chaser Show. Don't forget to check out Instagram at Dream Chaser Show. And don't forget to check out the blog, dreamchasershow.com. And also, don't forget to check out the YouTube channel. I've been putting some fire up on the YouTube channel, so make sure you check that out as well. Dream Chaser Show, all one word. Until the next time we talk, live big, dream big. Peace.